Blog Talk Radio.
Live and based from Memphis, Tennessee, this is Grizzly Bear Blues Live, hosted by Joe Mullinax.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme record, break neck spines and vertebrae, step up and plane like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim thugging them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, the season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is to check. Might even check.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to another wonderful edition of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. I'm so thankful wherever you may be, however you may be taking in our podcast, the flagship podcast at grizzlybearblues.com. Thank you so much for joining us. It is much appreciated as always. And it's a happy occasion on this recording of the show. I was not so sure it would be a happy cause for celebration, whether it be, you know, the All-Star uncertainty. Most people were fairly sure that Marc Gasol would be an All-Star reserve, and he was named a reserve on Thursday night. We'll certainly talk about that throughout the program. Mike Conley was not named an All-Star reserve, so another snub for Mike. Unfortunately, he's getting used to it at this point, but we'll talk more about that as well. It might be a good thing for Mike in the long run in the Grizzlies at large. But we'll talk All-Star. We'll talk a variety of Grizzlies-related topics. And, of course, we have our first watch party of the season this Saturday night at Memphis Made Brewery in Memphis, Tennessee. Our second segment this evening, we'll talk a good bit about that. So a lot of things to get to, a lot of things to discuss on the latest episode of Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Again, thank you for joining us. Ways to get in touch with the program. If you follow us on Twitter, you can, or if you don't follow us on Twitter, you should. You can tweet us at GBB Live. Again, that's at GBB Live. That is the Twitter account for the podcast itself. If you want to tweet at me personally or follow me on Twitter, it is at Joe Mullinax, M-U-L-L-I-N-A-X. And if you want to follow grizzlybearblues.com, the Memphis Grizzlies blog for SB Nation NBA, you can do so at SBN Grizzlies. Lots of good content has gone up the past few days. Today we had 5 articles in and of themselves, individual posts. Lots of good things to read as you're listening to this show. Make sure that you're doing that and getting caught up on what maybe you missed the past few days in Grizzlies fandom. The plan for tonight's podcast, we're excited to have Ryan Glover of BlueWorldOrder.com. He's back on the program, WUMR as well, in Memphis. We'll talk to him here in a moment about these Grizzlies, the All-Star selections, maybe some surprises, some snubs. I'm sure Mike Conley will be brought up, as we mentioned. We'll talk about the highs of highs and the lows of lows that were the Memphis Grizzlies getting absolutely shellacked this past Saturday, I believe it was, against the Houston Rockets. Then they had several days off. It led to a lot of people asking what is wrong with Memphis. The team was 9-12 heading into their game Wednesday night against the Raptors. I wrote an article that got some good run this week, made a couple of radio appearances talking with folks about the article, pointing the finger of blame squarely at Marc Gasol and Mike Conley. And then, of course, on Wednesday night, Marc Gasol goes off for 42 points, a new career high, and I show my power as a reverse jinxer. So that's a positive that I have going for me. We'll talk about all that with Ryan Glover here in a moment. Then in the second segment of the show, I have Mark King making his GBB debut. And this dude does a ton of stuff. He does television producing. He does Fan Essentials. He runs Fan Essentials. He runs other kind of side hustles. And he recently, the past few months, has become our GBB video editor. He makes original videos for GBB using pictures and sound bites and voiceovers. He does a great job for us, so we're excited to have him in the GBB crew. And also Holly Whitfield, who has been on our show multiple times, wonderful friend of the podcast and the blog. She runs I Love Memphis, one of the most popular blogs, if not the most popular blog in the city of Memphis. She does a great running it, and we have our first watch party on Saturday night. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about how important it is for Memphis to have an All-Star, and we'll take a look ahead to what awaits the Memphis Grizzlies on a 6-game road trip. We'll do that throughout the show. So Excited to have Mark and Holly on in the second segment, and we'll also be giving away a Fan Essentials box of gear to kind of get us warmed up for the ticket giveaways and the awesome things that we're doing on Saturday at the watch party. But first, before we get to the second segment, of course, we have to have the first one. And it is, as I mentioned, a good one with a friend of the podcast. He's been on the show before. Great insights from this guy. He is the sports director over at 91.7 WUMR in Memphis. He also is a writer and podcaster for BlueWorldOrder.com. He is Mr. Ryan Glover. Ryan, how are you doing, sir?
I'm good, Joe. How are you doing? Good to be back on with you, man.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate your time. I know you're a busy man. You've got a lot going on. And as always, we're excited to have you back. And the major focus, at least for me this week, Ryan, is just how awesome I am at reverse jinxing Marc Gasol. I think that
absolutely,
we first need to acknowledge the skills that I have in calling out Mark, and then him obviously being prompted to have a career best scoring night solely because of my post on a blog. I think we all just need to give me a moment of respect for that.
Yeah, absolutely. A moment of silence for Joe and his brilliance this throughout the week. It all started with your blog, of course, that you did over the weekend that led into the week that got you on Sports 56 and, of course, got you on ESPN with Jeff Calkins. You bashed and you killed the Grizzlies as best as you can, and then all of a sudden Mark wants to go for a career night and a pretty solid night for Mike Conley as well, guarding his good old friend and ex-Memphis Grizzlies Kyle Lowry. So I think you did a great job, Joe.
Well, I think it's important, Ryan, that you know, first off, you praised me well there, and I appreciate that. But obviously, in all joking aside, you know, when it comes to looking at a team that's struggling, and it does take a bit of craziness, perhaps, to point at the guy who is the all-star and the guy who is viewed as an all-star snub and say that they're struggling. But if you look at the numbers and you look at the way that they're playing, and that was the whole point of the article, you know, to me, whenever somebody is struggling, and I said this on the Calkins show, it starts at the top. You look at the top of the organization, and that is Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, and especially on defense, they were struggling. Now, they started to turn the tide on that a little bit, Ryan, in that Raptors game. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But Mark obviously had a great offensive night, and it was great for the Grizzlies, and it is great for the city of Memphis and the fan base of the Memphis Grizzlies to have an all-star once again, and it is Marc Gasol, his third appearance in the All-Star game. That is a new high for the Memphis Grizzlies. And he's really climbing up the ranks of the greatest all-time Memphis Grizzly. I'm not quite sure he's there yet. Some people would maybe say he is. I think that's a fun debate. But Marc Gasol obviously having a great season. You can have a stretch of poor play. They are human beings after all, and still be having a very good year. And I think we do need to take a moment to appreciate Ryan. You know, even the most optimistic of people about this time last year when Marc Gasol suffered his foot injury, even the most optimistic folks couldn't have envisioned fully that he would get back to this level of play this fast. I think you can argue that in some ways, again, we talked about the defensive struggles and we'll continue to mention those. But offensively, this might be the best season he's ever played now that he has added that range from three to his repertoire of tools in his tool belt. Marc Gasol's having a special year, and he needs to be commended for it, and I'm glad he got recognized for the All-Star game.
No, you're absolutely right, Joe. It's clearly his best season. Fizdale preached all offseason that we need a big man to stretch the floor. Was it going to be still Zebo in the starting lineup, which that would be the case where, of course, Gasol has to spread the floor and knock down the threes. Then he decided to go more athletic and more athleticism with Jermichael Green, and that's been, you know, a pretty good transition, I would say, the least. But still, from time to time, like you saw versus Toronto with Jermichael on the sideline because of the left knee injury, Zebo was still on the floor. But Mark, first 16 points of the game, he had those back-to-back threes. It's just a whole new dynamo now that the Grizzlies have on that offensive side. And teams like you saw last night with Toronto, Jonas Valanciunas is their center. He should be guarding Marc Gasol, but Dwayne Casey's mindset was, since Marc Gasol can shoot threes now and Zebo's starting, we have to put our stretch four and Patrick Patterson on him, and even sometimes Damari Carroll, who's a little bit more athletic as well, to switch onto these guys so they can stay with Marc on the perimeter. Because Marc's got everything, Joe. He can take you off the dribble. He can float it against you. He can back you down low. We've seen those turnaround jumpers like Dirk Nowitzki, and then we just see the straight-up pick-and-pop where now, instead of it's the free-throw line extended jumper, now we're going all the way to the three-point line, and it's unbelievable to watch, and it's clearly, Joe, he's the best center in the game. It's no bias. It's not because we're on a Grizzlies site. It's not because we watch the Grizzlies 24/7. He's the best center in the game. DeMarcus Cousins can put up great numbers. We can see DeAndre Jordan, probably the most athletic center in the game right now. Rudy Gobert is having a hell of a season. But overall, packaged from top to bottom, this guy's won a Defense of the Year award. He's now a three-time All-Star and by far probably a top three player of all time in the Memphis Grizzlies uniform. And like you mentioned, he's knocking on the door to be the best Memphis Grizzlies player to ever put a uniform on in the city of Memphis. And it's all props because of Marc Gasol.
I'm interested in your take on, and I agree with you, in terms of everything you said essentially there, the toolkit, his ability to take people off the dribble. And I think that, again, that is something that is surprising to me. He looks more nimble on the offensive end that he had. And, again, we have to appreciate this guy 11 months ago, people were horrified, may never play basketball again. Now, those were the real negative. Oh, my God, he has a broken bone in his foot. He's 7'1", 265 pounds. What are they going to do? Your mind goes to the worst in those situations. But to go from that pit of despair that really left in the pits of the stomachs of a lot of Grizzlies fans, to go from that to being here with Marc Gasol, like you said, making an argument to be the best center in the game, I think he's certainly right in that conversation. Like you said, Boogie Cousins is tremendous. We'll talk more about DeAndre Jordan here in a moment because I think Rudy Gobert got snubbed, but we'll mention that here in a second. You know, it's just a real testament to what Marc Gasol has built and what he has done. And like you said, it's a testament to David Fizdale in a way as well, because Mark has adapted his game. Mark has evolved. And I'm not so sure that evolution would have happened if Dave Yeager was still the head basketball coach. So Fizdale gets a little bit of credit for this all-star nod. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. He came in from day one and said, I've seen you made some threes in practice. I've seen you made a couple of threes in the game. But this has to be something that you have in your repertoire every single night. And it has to be a weapon that you shouldn't be afraid of doing. And, you know, releasing it at all times. Like he said, there's a green light for Zach Randolph. There's a green light for Marc Gasol. And he has no problem with them shooting like the Splash Brothers in Golden State. So I agree, Joe. As soon as David Fizdale came into the city of Memphis, he did three things. He said, Zach Randolph, you've been the best franchise guy. You've changed the culture of the city of Memphis to a winning way, but I need you to come off the bench. That was number one. Number two, I need a leader. Who's going to be my leader? Is it going to be the highest paid player in the NBA, Mike Conley, or is it going to be the best center in the NBA? He decided to go down the lane of Marc Gasol. And the third, which touches me a little bit more, obviously adapting to the city of Memphis and starting that police foundation where, you know, he doesn't want to feel like this is a basketball town where, you know, we just go to work and we just play basketball. You come and watch and then that's it. You don't hear from us. He says, we're all about the city. We're all about adapting to the city and we're going to do everything we can to make the city of Memphis even better than it already is. So those three things, obviously on the basketball side with Marc Gasol, like you mentioned, that was the key thing, becoming a leader and becoming basically the most lethal outside big man right now, besides probably Kristaps Porzingis and of course Dirk Nowitzki from that 3-point arc.
Really well put. We're talking with Ryan Glover here, sports director, 91.7 WUMR in Memphis, also a writer and podcaster for BlueWorldOrder.com. Make sure you're following him on Twitter if you don't already, at G_Love24. Now, Ryan, we look at these all-star rosters, and, you know, people like to point out that there's seven guys, I believe it's seven, from the Cavaliers and the Warriors. So it feels a little bit dominated by those super teams, so to speak. Just looking at the starters, Steph Curry and Kevin Durant obviously are from the Warriors. You look at the starters on the Eastern Conference side, you've got Kyrie Irving, LeBron James. So those are two Cavaliers. So four of the 10 starters are from two teams. But if you go beyond that, you look at the entire roster, you think about snubs. And that's something that people like to talk about. We can start with our own Mike Conley here in Memphis. You know, Mike was having a very good season, but as I mentioned in our roundtable that posted over at grizzlybearblues.com earlier in the day, and others did as well, you know, you look at the guys that did make the reserves, Russell Westbrook, Klay Thompson, and Gordon Hayward. I mean, the rest of the guys that made it are actually big men, which is kind of surprising. But you look at that roster, and it's really hard to say that any of them are not deserving those perimeter players. I mean, who do you take out to put Mike Conley in for? I'm just not sure that there is a sound argument for a team that's currently the 6 or 7 seed in the Western Conference to have those two all-stars, whereas, you know, Golden State obviously having a tremendous year and being the most popular team in the NBA, you could argue. Utah obviously needs an all-star from the season they're having, in my opinion. The Spurs, of course, with Kawhi Leonard. Maybe if you expanded the roster, there's room for Mike, but I really don't have any issues with the guys that they picked for the Western Conference All-Star team, except for maybe DeAndre Jordan being subbed out and Rudy Gobert being put in, because Gobert's having a heck of a season. But But outside of that, I can get an argument for DeAndre Jordan. So I don't have a ton of issues with the West or the East, to be honest with you. I don't see a ton of snubs.
Yeah, I agree. In the West side, it all started, with the starting lineup last week when it got announced, when the fan vote / media vote and got Stephen Curry starting. We all know that Russell Westbrook's probably right now the MVP of the NBA, or he's right there with James Harden. So he should have been starting over Stephen Curry. But since Stephen Curry is the back-to-back MVP, the fan vote and, of course, the media want to represent the team that has the best record and the guy who's just won back-to-back MVP. So that was the question mark last week. And then you could say, yes, Klay Thompson's probably the fourth best player on that Golden State Warriors team. But with a team that's having another outstanding year and only has 7 losses so far, more than halfway through the season, you would think, yes, he has to get involved as well. And then, like you mentioned, it all comes down to the Jeff Van Gundy effect, who he says all the time, you can't have a guy on an all-star team where this team's, really, really bad and that they're below 500 and they have no chance of the playoffs. Obviously, this time in the Western Conference, it's DeMarcus Cousins. Sacramento was in the playoff hunt a couple of weeks back, but now since that awful skid now, 18-27, they're still only a game and a half behind, surprisingly. But regardless, I still think now with that Rudy Gay injury, they're done. So you have that. You have those people that say if you're below 500 team and your team's really bad and you're just putting up great numbers, you don't deserve to be an all-star. So if you go down that case, DeMarcus Cousins shouldn't be there. And then, like you mentioned, is it Rudy Gobert? Is it Mike Conley? Is it all these other guys that you can think of? But like you mentioned, Joe, in the West, there's no problem whatsoever. In the East, it gets very, very interesting, right? Because the man who's the most popular figure on all of social media in the NBA is Joel Embiid. And if you look at those stats, when Joel Embiid is on the floor with that 76ers team, they are a plus 15. When he's off the floor, they average about a minus 30, a minus 35. And that's just flat out ridiculous how you can go from a TJ McCollum starting point guard alongside Joel Embiid as a plus 12. And as soon as you take him off the court, whoever you put in for him, they're clearly one of the worst teams in the NBA. So you could say Paul Millsap, does he deserve it? Yes, because they're Atlanta Hawks team right now, the top 5 team in the Eastern Conference. And you could argue Paul George in Indiana, they've been very, very underwhelming this season. Does he deserve it? And then obviously Kevin Love, he's probably the third best player in Cleveland, but is statistically the best season so far since he put on a Cleveland Cavaliers uniform. So, Joe, I think you could obviously nitpick here and there. You could say Joel Embiid. You could say Rudy Gobert. You could see our guy Mike Conley. But in reality, all 7 guys that made the reserves tonight for the East and West, I don't think there's a problem with them.
I don't have any issues with it. And as I put out on Twitter, selfishly, because it's great for the city of Memphis to get attention from the All-Star game. Mark being there brings more eyes to the Memphis Grizzlies. That's going to be terrific. And I think Mark can handle it. I think Mark, as we've mentioned, is healthier than any of us anticipated him being at this stage of the season. Mike Conley's not 100% right. And I think that's part of why he has struggled defensively. He shies away from contact for the first time against the Toronto Raptors. He looked a little bit more willing to take that contact. I'm excited for him to get that time to kind of recover a little bit, Ryan. I think that's going to be good for him to kind of get back to his family. He has the new baby, spend time at home, kind of really make sure he's healed up and ready for the stretch run. And they're about to go on a pretty rough stretch this next week or so in terms of travel and in terms of games. It's the longest road trip of the season coming up for them, and we'll talk more about that at the end of the segment. But I'm okay with Mike not going simply for health reasons. We're talking with Ryan Glover, sports director of 91.7 WMR, and he also podcasts and writes for BlueWorldOrder.com. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at G_Love24. I mentioned the Raptors game with Conley earlier, Ryan, and again, we talked about highs of highs and lows of lows. Memphis gets obliterated against the Rockets. They come back and have a good performance again against the Raptors team. Second night of a back-to-back. You can argue the Grizzlies should have won that game because DeMar DeRozan was out and it was the second night of back-to-back. Memphis had essentially had 3 full days off, which is kind of rare in the midst of the NBA schedule. So Memphis picks up a good win before going out on this road trip. What are some things that we can kind of take away from those two games, the Rockets and the Raptors? Some good, some bad, some ugly. What are just some overall takes on the last two games for Memphis as they try to find their identity again as a team?
Yeah, the Rockets game, I think it's just a part of the schedule. But they play that team. That was the third time they played them in less than 2 months, and they still haven't played the San Antonio Spurs yet. So the Rockets know what the Grizzlies want to do. The Grizzlies know what the Rockets want to do. And unlike the game that was at the FedEx Forum when Houston came to town, James Harden only went to the free throw line 6 times. He went 12 times in the entire game, and he had 6 free throw attempts in the first quarter alone. And every time he puts that hand down low and he tries to bait you into it like you're trying to get a cookie from the cookie jar, every time he gets to the free throw line and gets to the tempo he wants to establish and gets into that offensive flow, then there's no stopping James Harden. And then the whole Sam thing was interesting because, JaMychal Green starting, Parsons – was going to maybe stick on him as well. But, you know, I think the Trevor Ariza-Sam Decker matchup was an interesting how Memphis should have defended it. I would have put Jamichael Green on Trevor Ariza, and I would have put Chandler Parsons on Sam Decker. They did the opposite because maybe just they thought that Trevor Ariza would be more of a slasher in that game. They would want to find open shots for Patrick Beverley, Sam Decker, you know, Eric Gordon when he came off the bench. So, you know, maybe that was just a defensive scheme matchup that they could look for later on in the season. But it's just, you know, they played that team third time in less than 2 months. Houston was on a roll. They just, when they start making their threes, we already know they're probably one of the second best 3-point shooting teams in the NBA behind Golden State. And they were 16 of 42, only 38%. It doesn't look good on paper, but when a team makes 16 threes and the Grizzlies only make 9 threes, we always know that's going to be a recipe for success for the Houston Rockets. So I don't take that much away from that game, Joe, in particular, just since it was the third time they played in less than 2 months. But with the Raptors game, was very, very interesting. We know Mark started off unbelievably, scored the first 16 points, hit those back-to-back three-pointers, obviously getting a career-high 40 points along in that game as well. And we knew the guys were going to be very, very limited in the front court position with Jamichael Green out as well. Of course, Brandon Wright still coming back from injury. Jarrell Martin was off in the D-League. And so you just were hoping that, you know, if your guys can be successful in Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, then you get some from here, some from there. That happened to be Tony Allen, who went for a double-double. James Ennis hit 2 threes as well. So it's just when Mark and Mike go off, you have a great chance of winning. And people say this all the time, Joe. People can argue on Twitter. People can argue on radio and say, is Chandler Parsons signing a bust? And the question is, we're not going to find out until he's healthy. Thing that always makes no sense to me is, you didn't sign Chandler Parsons to be your 1A option. You didn't sign him to be your 1B option, your 2A option, or your 2B option. The team that's always going to find a way to win in the city of Memphis or anywhere they go is Marc Gasol 1, Mike Conley 2, and then a combination of Zach Randolph and Chandler Parsons. If Chandler Parsons is your 3A, 3B, or 4A option, you have the best chance to win. You can beat anybody in the NBA, and we've seen that this year, Joe. So people can argue all they want. It should have been Harrison Barnes. It should have been Chandler Parsons they signed. But when Mark does his thing like he did against Toronto, and then when Mike starts getting healthy, like you mentioned, gets into the paint, feels comfortable with his floaters, with his offhand, does the pick and roll, does the pick and pop, those two guys are always going to make you win basketball games. And then if you get some from Zebo, you get some from Chandler Parsons, they can beat anybody on a given night. So I think that's what proved to you against Toronto. Mark is the guy, and he should be getting the ball 80% of the time, 100% of the time when he's on the court. There's no question.
And you make a good point with Chandler Parsons. He's the third best player on this team when everybody's healthy. That's exactly right. And him as that third best guy is a terrific option. Now, if Chandler Parsons, like you said, if he was their second best player or if he was the best player on this roster, well, this team's not making the playoffs. They were never going to if Parsons was that guy. But him being that third option, and they're playing the long game with him. The Grizzlies are more than likely, unless they have a massive collapse due to health, knock on wood, they're going to make the playoffs. They're playing the long game with Parsons. They want Parsons healthy in March and especially in April so that when they get that matchup against the San Antonio Spurs, the Houston Rockets, they want to be able to have him at full strength. That is what their hope is, and that is what they are building towards. And I think people have to keep that patience with Parsons. Now, the Raptors game in terms of things that I was optimistic about outside of Gasol obviously playing so well, and you alluded to it a little bit, with Zach Randolph. Zach has played really well, and I wrote an article about what is bothering the Memphis Grizzlies this week. Like we mentioned earlier, got a good bit of publicity for the site, and I appreciate the opportunities to be on the shows I was on and all that. But when you point the finger squarely at the two best guys in the organization, usually that gets some attention. And it wasn't necessarily a clickbait thing. I think I argued my point well, and obviously Mark, you know, had the game that he had on Wednesday night. But you, and again, had nothing to do with me. That was all a joke earlier. But my point is, you look at the top and you see the way that the defense has really been struggling. Mike has struggled to keep guys in front of him. Mark has struggled because of that, having to kind of maybe overcompensate for the issues that are happening on the perimeter. It was all kind of a jumbled mess these past 20 games or so. So maybe you take the Toronto game out of the picture for a minute here, Ryan. You look at the past 20 games or so outside of Toronto. The team has really struggled. I kind of pointed the fingers at Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, and a little bit on a lesser extent to Tony Allen, you know, three of the members of the core four of Memphis. Do you think that's entirely fair? Do you think I was a little too hard on those guys? Who do you think is to blame for the recent stretch of mediocre basketball for the Grizzlies? Because the Toronto game was great, but before that, we have a longer kind of model and sample size of them not playing too well.
Yeah, it's a very, very complex question to answer, Joe, because people can argue that you're in the dog days now of the NBA. Memphis has basically played more games than almost anybody in the entire league up to this point. That's why we had the 3 days rest before the Toronto game. So you could say a lot of games and a lot of nights. You can argue that we're in the dog days, injuries, et cetera, you know, getting tired of everybody, seeing each other on a consistent basis. But you're absolutely right, Joe. When Fizdale calls out Marc Gasol from day one and says, I need you to be my leader, and then when you see games like Houston where he picks up early foul trouble or he doesn't get back on defense or he doesn't get the ball in a position where he likes to go, his head goes down. That's always been my one big criticism about Marc Gasol. When things aren't going his way or when the team isn't going the way he thinks it should go, his head goes down, and then he sulks, and then when he doesn't make a shot, he's still ticked off about himself because he's like, I should be doing better. And then it sort of rubs off on the team because we've seen it so far this season, Joe. Three straight possessions or three out of the five possessions in a row, Mark will be engaged or Mark will not defend his man or he won't help on the pick and roll. He won't hedge properly or whatever the case may be. And that's what affects the Memphis Grizzlies. That's what you see with these slow starts. Mark normally, you know what we used to back in the day, Joe, when it was those Zebo and Marc Gasol big man minutes where the first shot of the game would be from that left elbow jumper. Zebo would tap with his left foot twice and he would fade away. And if the shot goes in, you know it's most likely going to be a good night for Zach Randolph. And we'd go from there. Now it's basically a pick and pop between Mike and Mark and let Mark do his thing. He did fantastically well against Toronto by scoring the first 16 points. And then you see games throughout the stretch where he doesn't make a shot, then he doesn't defend, and then it all goes downhill from there. So you're right, Joe, to call out Marc Gasol because I agree with you. The way this team goes is the way Marc Gasol goes, and then it's the way Mike Conley goes. Mike Conley is a very, very positive person. We've seen Marc Gasol be a very, very negative person from time to time, not in the media, not in the way his words, but just the way his body action is. So I think it's a mixture of everything. Tiresome, too many games and too many nights, new coaching staff. We've already seen Fizdale lash out at these players from time to time, but now they're finally getting healthy. We're going to see what Brandon Wright can bring to the fold. I think he's going to play maybe on this road trip I've been hearing. So I think we just get healthy. We see what happens, Joe. And then, like we said, come April, come May, if we got a starting five that we feel good about, we feel finally see a healthy Chandler Parsons, this team can do anything possible, and it can beat any team on a given night. So I think it's a mixture of everything. And everything you mentioned in your post was absolutely fair, and I have no whatsoever.
The schedule is part of it, and I mentioned that in the post. Of the 20 games that I measured of them struggling, Ryan, 14 of them, and obviously there were some repeat games in there, but 14 of them were against current playoff teams. I mean, the schedule was brutal over that stretch for them. They're about to see it lighten up a little bit, and I do think that will help, even with the extended road trip coming up. We're finishing up here with Ryan Glover, sports director over at 91.7 WUMR in Memphis, also a writer and podcaster for BlueWorldOrder.com. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. If you don't already, at @G_love24. Ryan, we'll get you out of here on this. The Grizzlies have a six-game road trip coming up. Unbelievably long, it seems. The longest one of the season. They're in Portland Friday night. Then Saturday night, they're at Utah. That's our watch party, which real quick, are you going to our watch party on Saturday night?
Unfortunately, no, Joe, because I have to work for the Grizzlies radio network. Yeah, I have to do the Grizzlies highlight stuff for the radio game on the weekend, so I won't be there.
And I tell you what, I thought the Darby and those guys would have done it from the watch party. I thought they were coming. Man, that's right.
Yeah, I could ask them. Yeah, bring the stuff.
Yeah,
and we can do
bring
the
whole
party.
Crew. We can make it a real party.
Yeah.
We'll have a good time.
Absolutely.
Memphis made. Everything's better with the Grizzly Bear Blues crew. So Saturday night, we're doing our watch party at Memphis Made Brewery, and you'll be working, unfortunately, as they take on the Utah Jazz. Then Monday, they're at Phoenix, and Wednesday, they're at Denver, and then they finish out the road trip with another back-to-back against the Thunder and the Minnesota Timberwolves. So six games coming up on this road trip. What is a realistic expectation from the Memphis Grizzlies during this run? I asked this question in our I asked this question in our roundtable earlier today, and a lot of the writers at GBB seem to see 3-3 as a realistic mark. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, realistically, it's 3-3 because that back-to-back versus Portland and Utah is brutal. Utah has been outstanding this year. We've already seen them, what they've done to us on the defensive side with Gobert back there. His shots, he might not block every shot, but it feels like he can test every single shot. So I think you can beat Portland. Obviously, those two guards up there are sensational in C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard, respectively. So you need Mike and Tony to do their thing on the defensive side. There's not really much else threat-wise besides those two guards that scare you. So I think the back-to-back is hard. I think you win against Portland, you lose against Utah. Phoenix is basically, they started the season where we're going to play all our veterans with Brandon Knight, with Jared Dudley, Tyson Chandler, et cetera. Now they're sort of going to more, they're young guys. We saw the guys they drafted this year in Dragan Bender and Marquise Chris. So I think we're going to see a very young, energetic team in Phoenix. But regardless, you got a day in between the Utah game. I think they take care of business versus Phoenix. And then it's always hard, Joe. Yes, you get a day between the Phoenix and the Denver game, but it's still the mile high. Denver's right now the eighth seed in the Western Conference. We've got some very, very good players, some very athletic players with Will Barton, Kenneth Faried, of course, and then a guy that's looking like maybe a top three candidate right now for most improved, Nikola Jokic, their starting center, who's been sensational. So I think that I would circle that as the iffy one, right? That's the one where you can decide we can go 4-2 in this trip, or we can go 3-3, because we've already seen that Oklahoma City crowd. Russell Westbrook, of course, is a walking triple-double. We've already beaten them this season. So regardless, Joe, I think 3-3 is most likely the realistic outcome, but I would not be surprised. I think you start the you'd go 2-1 in the first three games, and then whatever happens in that Denver game dictates the rest of the season, dictates the rest of the road trip, excuse me. So I think if you beat Denver, you go 4-2 in the road trip. If you lose to Denver, you go 3-3, and regardless, that's still a really, really good road trip.
I like that. I think that's exactly right, Ryan. I'm good with that take there. And I think 3-3 would be successful because this is the longest trip of the year, and anytime you can get out of that kind of stretch of time away from home, you know, sleeping in different hotel rooms and all that stuff, 6 games and 9 nights, like you mentioned, 2 back-to-backs over those 6 games. It's going to be good for them to get out of there 3-3 and then come back to Memphis and start rattling off some other wins. Ryan, as always, thank you so much for your insights and your time. It is much appreciated. And of course, we will have you back on down the road here on GBB Live.
Thanks so much, Joe. Always appreciate it.
There he goes, Ryan Glover of Blue World Order, podcaster and writer. He also is a terrific sports director over at 91.7 WUMR in Memphis. Make sure you're following him at @G_love24. Always good to have Ryan on our podcast. This is GBB Live. I am your host, Joe Molinax. We are carrying on here, ladies and gentlemen. And before I get to my next guest, I do want to give a shout-out, and this is kind of strange because he's about to be on the show, but I want to give a shout-out to our terrific sponsor, Fan Essentials. They are amazing in terms of what they can offer up to Memphis Grizzlies fans. Maybe you're like me. You don't like to go to the store. You don't like to shop. I'm not a big fashion guy. For people that know me, I'm much more comfortable in a T-shirt and jeans or something along those lines, or even maybe a nice pair of mesh shorts. But I will say that when Fan Essentials has their gear in their box and it comes to my door, I'm excited for what it might bring. I like that they pick out things that I would be interested in, and I know that they'll do the same for you. They have reasonable prices, great subscription service. Make sure you're going to fanessentials.net, making them a place for all of your Grizzlies gear needs. They're a terrific sponsor of this program. And they are going to be sponsoring our watch party on Saturday, and we are very excited to be talking about that watch party in our next segment. I'm excited to welcome to the program here. She runs the I Love Memphis blog, does a terrific job there. Of course, we've had her on multiple times. Great friend of the show. And making his debut, I mentioned earlier, he does great video content for GBB now. He is a TV producer. He also runs Fan Essentials. So this is kind of the brain trust of our watch party. I'm excited to have them both on. It is Mark King and Holly Whitfield. Holly, Mark, party people, what is going on?
Hello.
How's it going? So excited to have you guys on. Of course, Holly, welcome back. And Mark, welcome to your debut performance here on GBB Live. I'm excited to have you both with us. And Mark, I'll start with you real quick because I just saw an announcement that you made on Twitter that I'm pretty excited about. You guys have a cool Mark Gasol All-Star shirt that apparently is going to be available at the watch party on Saturday.
Yeah, it was weird. You know, I did a quick design tonight. I was sitting around after dinner with the kids. So yeah, we got a design, and then Alec Wilson from Memphis City Design offered to print it for us, you know, tomorrow, so we can have them at the watch party. So that'll be cool. Yeah, we'll have those there, and we won't have much. We're only getting a few printed. We're only going to get about 20 printed, so there won't be that many, but they'll be there.
Well, that's unfortunate because we're going to have like 2,000 people at this watch party. So that those shirts are going to be hot commodities. Very excited to have Fan Essentials and those shirts, obviously, in attendance, and excited to have the I Love Memphis brand there as well. Holly, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm coming to you live from downtown Memphis right now. So
I'm pretty excited. I'm excited to be on the show. I'm excited about Saturday. It feels like it's been a really long time since we've had a watch party, so I am pretty pumped. I'm pumped about our new venue, too.
Excellent. And let's talk about that a little bit. And Holly, obviously, as kind of the queen of festivities, the partier or the party organizer extraordinaire, and you always come on the show when I have you on and talk about things to do with the Grizzlies this weekend and in the coming weeks. Obviously, the major event this weekend is our watch party. So why don't you give our listeners out there some reasons that they should be coming to the GBB I Love Memphis Fan Essentials extravaganza at Memphis Made Brewery on Saturday night.
First of all, it's fine. You can call me a partier. Second of all, extravaganza is a great word. I'm really excited that we're doing this at Memphis Made Brewing on Saturday. Tip off 8 o'clock, right? 8 o'clock. It's a slightly later game. They're going to stay open slightly later for us. But the reason I'm so excited is because, number one, the Memphis Made folks are awesome. They are great. I had my 30th birthday party there a few months ago, and they treated us like royalty. So definitely come and enjoy that. The other reason is it's right by the big red I Love Memphis mural. So if you want to get some selfies in, you can definitely do that. Which will actually, if you post it online with the hashtag I Love MemGrizz, you could be entered to win some tickets from my blog. I won't go into that. Go to the blog and look at it. But the third reason, aside from the fact they're going to take really good care of us and have the game up for us, is that they also have the new high-gravity beers now because the laws changed as of 2017. So if you feel like you tried all the local beers in Memphis, you have not yet, come try some new ones. So I just think it's going to be a really fun game. There's going to be a lot of people there that we're all going to be able to cheer on the Grizz together.
Pretty excited about it. And Grizzly Bear Blues, at the end of each quarter, end of the first quarter, end of the second quarter, end of the third quarter, we're going to be giving away game tickets as well. Four tickets to two different San Antonio Spurs games. And then I believe the other one is to an Atlanta Hawks game on a Saturday night. So we're excited at GBB to be getting in on the giveaway fun. We'll be doing that on our end. And then, Mark, what are some things that you guys are doing as part of the watch party?
Yeah, so we're going to have the All-Star Search there, of course, like we just talked about. We're going to have some Fan Essentials boxes this year or from this month there. So we'll have some extra ones there if people want to get theirs. We'll have a few shirts. We're not going to bring that much, but we'll have a few shirts here and there, some of the more popular stuff. That you can pick up while you're there, so you can watch the game. Like Holly said, you can drink a good beer, and you can get all your stuff that you need right in one spot. So I'm excited about it. As I mentioned, I think in our email, we have two kids, and so we get to go to the party kid free. So my wife and I are pretty excited about it.
It's going to be a great time. I am very jealous that I will not be in attendance, but I know you guys will have a great time. There will be at least seven of your favorite Grizzly Bear Blues writers in attendance, and then I think Jonah Jordan will be there as well, so that would make eight GBBers. Jonah wouldn't be a part of your favorite GBB writers. Shout out to Jonah for helping us out with the party. So we're excited. There's going to be some GBB bloggers in attendance. There's obviously going to be I Love Memphis. There's going to be Fan Essentials. It's going to be a great time. And, of course, the main event, the main attraction, aside from giveaways and tickets and all that, is the Memphis Grizzlies on the big screen against the Utah Jazz. So make sure you're coming out to Memphis Made Brewery, 8 o'clock Central Time, p.m. on Saturday night. Join us at Memphis Made. And we can celebrate at the party our newly crowned three-time All-Star, the most in the history of the organization, Marc Gasol. Pretty awesome that Marc is at that stage. But with the highs of Marc being selected to a record third stint as an All-Star, you have Mike Conley, the yearly snub at this point, the continued king of the best player to never be named an All-Star list. Holly, I'll start with you because there's not many people out there that are more tuned in to the connection between the Grizzlies and the city of Memphis. How much does it matter for Memphis to have, A, Marc Gasol be named for a third time, so he's clearly recognized as one of the best players of the NBA and he's in Memphis long term, and then B, how much more would it have mattered or does it matter for Mike Conley to be snubbed? Like, do we need to really be outraged and angry that Mike Conley was snubbed? Should we focus more on the fact that Marc Gasol is being recognized? What does this mean to the city of Memphis in particular, this all-star recognition?
So I think we're in a little bit of a win-win situation, regardless of the all-star status of two of our favorite guys. And the reason I say that is because it's awesome that Mark has been named to our all-star reserves. It makes us proud. It makes us feel like we're kind of getting recognized. We have that small market sort of syndrome. I can't even listen to ESPN commentators when they call games because I just don't like the way that it seems like they're kind of putting down Memphis here and there. That might be just because I'm super biased. So it's cool when we get that recognition. At the same time, though, we aren't expecting that recognition. Like I just said, we're not really used to getting it. I know that it would probably mean a lot to Mike, and for that reason, you know, I'm concerned. But mostly, I feel like it's that same situation that we've had when we go into the playoffs every year. We have a kind of a chip on our shoulder. We have something to prove, and I think it kind of lights a fire under our guys. So that's what I'm saying. It's kind of a win-win situation. It's cool that we get the recognition. It definitely means something, but it doesn't mean everything. You know what I mean?
I think that's a great way to put it, and Mark will bring you in on that idea. It means something, but it doesn't mean anything. What do you think is more meaningful? And this is kind of a loaded question. Is it more meaningful that Marc Gasol got his third selection tonight, or is it more meaningful that Mike Conley continues to be snubbed? To me, you focus on the positive of Marc Gasol, and as I've mentioned before, Mike Conley getting this chance to rest, that has to be a positive. But at the same time, Ollie's right. You want to see Mike get that recognition because he deserves it. So how do you feel about this? Are you more bummed for Mike or happy for Mark?
No, I think you're right. I mean, it really is about Mark. I mean, he's a great player. He's showing this year really how well he can play. And then the game the other night, the last game they just had, you know, if Mark is locked in, you really see what he can do on a night-in and night-out basis. And for Mike, you know, the reality of the situation is that you're playing in a conference with a Western Conference. There's just so many good guards. Every year, there's so many that are going to be competitive and they're going to be playing at an all-star level every single year. It's always going to be difficult for Mike to crack that rotation of all-star guards, you know, because of the conference he plays in, you know, the time that he plays in, had this 5 years earlier, 5 years later, some of his guards wouldn't be there. So a lot of that, what Mike is, you know, getting snubbed every year, a lot of that's not even his fault. A lot of it is just the situation that he's in. And he can't do anything about that other than continue to play what he does and does night in and night out. And so I don't think we should focus on Mike. We should focus on Mark, how well he's playing. I know that's what Mike would say as well. And like I said, Mike not making it is just a product of the environment that he is in. It's not his fault. It's just what it is.
It is what it is. The Western Conference is loaded. And as we mentioned earlier in the show with Ryan Glover, I don't really have any massive issues with the guys who were selected for the all-star rosters. Maybe you point at a Rudy Gobert over DeAndre Jordan. You talk about DeMarcus Cousins being on a bad team. Maybe you slide Mike Conley in for Klay Thompson. But as we mentioned, the Warriors are one of the best teams, and they're easily the most popular team in the NBA right now. I really can't point too many fingers at what the coaches did. We're chatting with Holly Whitfield of the I Love Memphis blog and Mark King, GBB video content man extraordinaire, Fan Essentials. He does plenty of things, wears many hats. We're excited to have him on the show for the first time. Follow Holly on Twitter if you don't already, and most of you probably do because she's terrific at it, at I Love Memphis. And you should be following Mark on Twitter if you are not already do so, or if you don't already do so, excuse me. That is at King_producer. Now, Mark, speaking of the videos that you do for us, which you do a terrific job on, keep them coming, please. We posted three of them today on social media, and I haven't checked Facebook lately, but usually whenever you post a trade idea, people come out with their opinions on social media, as well they should. We welcome those opinions and those takes on the things that we put up at GBB. You had some trade deadline deal ideas, and we posted those videos, and they were terrific. So I'll start with you on this, Mark. What do you think that the team needs at this point? Do they need anything? Because in our roundtable that I posted over at grizzlybearblues.com, you know, some people, like our senior writer, Matt Hardlicka, thinks they could use a backup point guard. I think he used the line, someone who could dribble. It is something that he would like to see the Grizzlies acquire. I'm on team no trade necessary. Obviously, they can make a move, but I don't want to see them overpay for somebody. I don't want to see them make the move for the sake of thinking they need to make a move to improve. I've seen that song and dance before. It was Jeff Green. I was super wrong about Jeff Green, and the scars are still very real and raw for me from that situation in terms of my love with Jeff Green. So, Mark, what do you think this team needs? Do they need anything? Do they need a backup point guard that badly?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I definitely think they need to make a deal. And that doesn't necessarily mean they have to make a trade. You know, making a deal doesn't always mean making a trade. They can always end up cutting Harrison or someone and signing a point guard, but they need a backup point guard badly. And the numbers seem to bear that out as well. We did another video maybe a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, talking specifically about the point guard situation and what happens when they don't have a point guard on the floor. And the numbers are pretty telling of what that is. It's very, very bad. And even the eye test, you can tell whenever you're watching that offense, when there's Tony Allen running the point or Vince Carter, you know, you're asking people to do something that they've never done before. And, you know, veterans like that don't seem to want to change much. And it's not that they can't, it's just that they've only taught themselves to think one way about the game. And so I definitely think they need to make a deal, whether that's a trade, whether that's a wave and a sign for a backup point guard, but they definitely need help. You know, those videos that we had today were just a few examples of what they can go out and do. The problem with the Grizzlies' trade deals and what they're going to be able to do is they're very limited on what the trades they can make. You know, people talk about trading Jermichael Green, but if you trade Jermichael Green, it's going to be really, really hard to get value, proper value back in return for him because his contract is so small. He's only a $925,000 contract. So, you know, the making the money that work, you got to get some picks, you know, more picks than you probably would normally get back for him just to make the value work. So there's a lot of things around the roster that make it, not would say difficult, but are going to make it more interesting to make a trade. One of those guys that kept lending in all the deals was Brandon Wright, simply because of his contract. It matched up with a lot of things else. People will see that more of an addition of a big guy who can, play in the pick and roll well. So I don't think they're going to make a trade. I really think they might stand pat this year. I hope they do because I think they need it. And like I said, that doesn't necessarily mean they have to, they need to make a deal, whether that is a trade or whether that's a waving of a person and signing of someone else, a backup point guard, they need to address this situation.
And you didn't necessarily have these players that I'm about to mention in your videos today, Mark, but there's always been rumors, not necessarily about, you know, Zach Randolph, but every year, you know, whether it's Minnesota or some other team, Tony Allen kind of creeps up in these conversations. And
yeah.
I mentioned the possibility of TA being a guy who could be shipped out. Holly, I'll bring you in on this again. You know Memphis pretty well. I'm talking about the Grindfather. I'm talking about Lebo.
Right.
I'm talking about two guys who people honestly talk about building statues of outside of FedEx Forum and hanging their numbers in the rafters as the first numbers retired by the Memphis Grizzlies. These guys are Memphis icons at this stage in their careers. How would the city of Memphis react? And again, this is speculation. I mean, Tony Allen stuff has been out in the past. They're both on the last year of their contract. Maybe they want more money elsewhere, especially a guy like Zach. Maybe he thinks he can get one more, you know, two-year, $25 million contract somewhere, and maybe Memphis doesn't want to pay him that. This is speculation, but it's possible. It's within the realm of existence that Zach Randolph and Tony Allen may not be Memphis Grizzlies past this season. Now, I think the most likely thing is they will be. But let's say a trade comes along that is equal value or even better for Tony Allen because the team really wants his elite defensive prowess, which he still is an elite defender. Do you think Memphis would be super mad at a TA or Zebo trade at this point? Do you think that maybe there's one guy they're more willing to say goodbye to than the other? Or do you think it would just burn down the entire city if either of them were no longer Grizzlies because of a trade? I think in free agency, people would maybe be a little bit more understanding if Memphis didn't want to pay them, but a trade seems a little bit different.
So, Joe, I feel like, first off, yes, Memphis would definitely be mad if either of these guys were traded. And also, I don't know how much we're going to get for them. They're worth a lot to Memphis, to our team identity, to our team chemistry. So I'm not sure we might as well keep them. But to answer your real question of, like, what would it matter to Memphis, Here's a super quick story about how I became a Grizzlies fan.
Years ago,
I was working at the really quick. I was working at the Commercial Appeal. I was assigned, my very first big assignment was to write a story for one of their magazines. So it wasn't like a journalist sports beat story. It was one of the magazines about basketball in Memphis. And I did so much research that I got really into it, and I started following certain players. And that moved on, and I got into more players. Later on, I had the opportunity to interview some of those players for that same magazine at the CA. And I just got more and more into these individuals whose game really inspired me. I've always loved basketball, but I really like these guys. But I'm telling you, a couple of years ago, two or three seasons ago, at the end of the season, I'm like going nuts, watching every single game, and I realized about myself that I'm a Grizzlies fan, and it's no longer just about the players. So coming from that perspective of really falling in love with especially Tony Allen, that was the first Grizzlies T-shirt I got, was the Grindfather shirt. Even coming from that, I'm going to be able to survive. I'm going to be able to live. I'm not going to, like, relinquish my fandom if we make a trade that I am okay with that doesn't seem too risky and for him. Z-Bo is probably going to be harder for the general population to accept if we were going to make that trade. I mean, he just donated, $20,000 to MLGW to support Memphians who need help with their utilities. Both of these men have made huge investments in our community. So even just, like, off the court, it's going to be hard. But on the court, like I started this whole answer with, I don't know if we're going to get enough for them for it to really be worth it to sacrifice not only their huge contributions on the court, but also how much they mean to the team's identity, the team's chemistry, and the city.
Holly Whitfield of the I Love Memphis blog and Mark King, our GBB video content producer and Fan Essentials man extraordinaire, are joining me here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinex. Make sure you're following Mark if you don't already at King_producer, and make sure you're following Holly at I Love Memphis, and make sure you're checking out the websites fanessentials.net as well as I Love Memphis blog. Terrific work done by both of these terrific individuals. And speaking of a terrific individual, at least I tend to think so, and maybe I'm the problem here, Holly and Mark. I just fall in love with these Grizzlies wings that are acquired, and everybody else tends to hate them, it seems. The latest one is Chandler Parsons, and in fairness to Chandler, if you read, you know, the Commercial Appeal and you read other blogs and you follow the team, more and more, it's more a question of the front office paying him as much as they have because of the knee issues. Obviously, Chandler still not fully healthy. He's probable for Friday night's game against the Trailblazers now, which is good news. A good injury report came out as we were recording this podcast. But Chandler Parsons, not necessarily endearing himself to the Memphis faithful. They had the yoga mats that I saw people giving a hard time on Twitter the other night. His, you know, fraternizing with Hollywood starlets and Kardashians and maybe not Kardashians. Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else on that. But anyway, lots of different folks that he's interacting with out in L.A. and elsewhere. Chandler Parsons, and I'll start with you on this, Holly. How do we feel about him at this point? Do you think it's his fault that he's kind of being perceived the way that he is? Is it the front office's fault because they offered him this massive contract and he hasn't lived up to it yet? Is it nobody's fault and we just kind of have to be patient? How are you viewing Chandler at this stage in his Grizzlies tenure?
Joe, I have thought a lot about this. Actually, I knew a couple of weeks ago on Twitter there was some hullabaloo about Chandler not being, quote, Memphis enough.
Yes, that upset me a pretty good bit.
Yeah, you know what? I went back and looked, and I could not find the origin of that comment. We don't have to talk about who it was or where it came from, but I could never find the origin of that. It was just mostly people being mad that someone said that. It was a pretty strong statement. I'm not sure if it's fair. Personally, I am not a huge fan of this person yet. He hasn't done anything to endear himself to the Memphis public. Whoever is helping him with his PR is not understanding his audience or his market. But at the same time, I respect his autonomy as a person. Like, if he wants to go party and do whatever, okay. But he does need to understand that if he cares about being accepted by I would be more interested in knowing what his teammates think about this, to be honest, because that might affect something that happens on the court. But he's just not doing a great job. I'm not a huge fan. But at the same time, like, when I'm thinking logically and less emotionally about it, we can't really make a judgment just yet. I mean, these are what all of my hardcore Grizzlies fans are telling me, like my friends. They're saying, we don't know yet. We don't know yet. We have to wait until he's healthy. And, I mean, my heart says back to them, why did we spend so much money on someone who wasn't healthy when all of our bones are already made of glass? But, you know, it just – so I'm definitely torn about it, but – I kind of feel like the bottom line for me personally as a fan is I'm going to wait and see, and I'm going to roll my eyes a whole lot at his Instagram in the meantime. If he hasn't proven himself in the next year, if the health is not improving, I'm going to start saying some stuff. But until then, I'm going to try to just set my differences aside and hope that Chandler comes out and is worth part of what we're paying him.
And that's a completely logical way of looking at it, Holly. I think that it's fair to be frustrated because of the price tag, but at the same time, he's not healthy. If you followed his career, when he is healthy, he is a game changer, not just as a scorer of the basketball, but also as a facilitator. He's 6'10". He can play multiple positions on the floor. But the health thing is a massive question, and I think that it's fair to be frustrated by that. And his antics off the court, I can see why that would be frustrating. But the not Memphis enough thing to me, maybe that eats at me because I'm not originally from Memphis. I'm from Virginia, and I lived in Memphis for 3 years, but I identify myself as a Memphian. I wasn't there a long time, but my time there was clearly pretty influential on me in terms of my fandom and in terms of me as a person. You know, so to me, and your title of your blog, Holly, is a great example of this. I love Memphis. If Memphis is about love and if Memphis is about acceptance, I feel like people haven't been very accepting of Chandler. And in fairness, Chandler has done some things, like you mentioned, the Instagram account, that he probably shouldn't have said and done. And I think that those are valid things to point out and be frustrated by. But I feel like whether it's Jeff Green or Ed Davis, every year there seems to be some kind of scapegoat for the fan base, Mark. And that's kind of what eats at me. I'm curious as to what you think, Mark. Chandler Parsons, is it his fault that he's kind of being viewed the way that he is? I think Holly made some fair points on that. Is it more the front office's fault? I've seen that more recently. You know, Chandler Parsons was offered the contract. It was max money. Of course he's going to sign it. Or do we just need to continue to be patient, like Holly said, and then if it's still a struggle, maybe start to freak out a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's definitely not his fault. It's not like he chose to go out and get hurt. It's definitely not his fault, because I guarantee you if he had his choice and how it was going, he'd be playing right now. I also think that it seems like to me, just now outside looking in, it looks like he wants to play more than they're allowing him to. I think he wants to have more minutes than what they're giving him. And so I can understand how that's frustrating as well. I can understand how it's frustrating just watching someone who has this massive contract just sit on the bench. I get that as a fan. It frustrates me too. But the point you said, when he gets healthy, he changes the offense so much. I mean, we've seen flashes here and there of what he can do. He changes the offense not only from facilitating, from the shooting, playing a stretch four. There's a lot of things that he can do. And the money is one thing. I know people talk a lot about the money, but the reality of the situation, whenever you're in free agency – in the summer, someone's going to give him that money. I know there's some speculation on the Portland not giving him as much as we offered him. That's fine. If it's not Portland, it probably would have been someone else. But someone is going to give him the money. He didn't probably have to max him out, but he's going to get paid. So you have a shot to get a guy who is probably one of the biggest free agents you've ever gotten since you've been in Memphis, and the front office. I'm sure they have known and have all the detailed doctor's reports and medical history they can possibly get. Our medical staff has not been the greatest, but you can't tell me they didn't know what was going on when they gave him when they offered him that contract. You can't tell me they didn't know what the risks were. And so I think they viewed it as it was the rewards vastly outweighed the risk, and that's kind of how I sit in it. I think the rewards – will always outweigh the risk when you come to that kind of player. And unfortunately, in this market, those are the kind of players you're going to attract. So I was a fan of it in the summer, still a fan of it now. I'm a huge fan of what he can bring. So I think it's just we just have to be patient. Once he gets healthy, I think a lot of people will be backtracking a little bit, and hopefully, you know, and hopefully it doesn't turn into a Brandon Wright situation where he spends 3 years on the bench. But we'll see. Only time will tell.
Have to be patient. Have to be patient with Parsons. You made the investment. You have to make sure he's ready to roll in again. He is a March and April guy that you need ready then. You do not need to rush him back now. If he wasn't ready to go because of soreness in that knee on Wednesday, if sitting out on Wednesday makes him feel better on Friday and he can get back to his kind of process of getting back into the swing of things, I'm all for it. I'm a Chandler Parsons guy as well, but I think it is fair to say, hey, if he's still having these issues, especially going into next season, there's real problems there. And again, I understand the frustration with some of the social media posts and that sort of thing. But when it comes to Chandler Parsons, the basketball player, when he's healthy, he's a difference maker for these Grizzlies. We're finishing up here with Mark King, GBB video content producer, fan essentials extraordinaire. Follow him on Twitter if you don't already do so, @King_producer. And then, of course, Holly Whitfield of the I Love Memphis blog. Make sure you're following her @ILoveMemphis. We'll get you out of here on this, guys. One last sell for our watch party. I'm shamelessly plugging this wonderful watch party we're throwing. One last sell, one more time, 8 o'clock at Memphis Made Brewery. I will give the first reason that everyone should go to this party on Saturday night, aside from all of these wonderful people being there, GB Beers, Holly, Mark, Fan Essentials, I Love Memphis. It's going to be a great place to be. Again, Grizzly Bear Blues giving away 3 pairs of game tickets at the end of the first, second, and third quarter. 6 total tickets being given away by GBB, getting you into FedEx Forum to catch the Memphis Grizzlies. That's a major reason you should come out to Memphis Made on Saturday night. Holly, you're up next. What's another reason folks should come to the watch party?
Oh, my gosh. We talked about the beer, okay? But the atmosphere at Memphis Made is really great because it's very casual. It's very cool. Like, the reason I like watch parties so much is because there's finally other people there around yelling instead of just me yelling by myself at a TV or a radio. So, I'm just going to say that's my personal reason. I love these also, not only for that reason, but because I get to meet a lot of people who read the blog, who read you guys' blog, and there's just nothing more fun than that. So, yeah, Saturday night. Y'all have great tickets. I'm probably going to throw some stickers in my bag, free stickers, big I Love Memphis stickers. Just ask me. I will give them to you. So, yeah, lots of reasons.
There you go. And I think that's a good example. Hopefully lots of pictures will be taken. We can get some Memphis Twitter, yes. Grizzlies Twitter group photos. Lots of fun things there. And then, Mark, we'll get out of here with you. Reasons that folks should come to the party on Saturday night.
Well, we've already talked about the beer, but that can't be oversold. That can't be understated enough. There's going to be beer there. So, I mean, that starts right there. But no, like I said,
there's going to be a food truck.
And a food truck.
Yeah.
So beer and food, literally, that's about all you need. But like you said, meeting people that are coming out, and like Holly said, yes, having people other than you that are yelling is fantastic. Just so you know you're not the crazy one. But, yeah, we'll have everybody out there. Everybody that wins a pair of tickets from GBB will also win a shirt of their choice from Fan Essentials. So we'll have that out there. So we'll have stuff that you can get tickets, you can get shirts, you can get all the stuff. Plus, again, beer. So there's not much. I mean, I don't know how to sell it enough, but that's as much as I can do.
I think we plugged it pretty well. Saturday night, 8 o'clock at Memphis Made Brewery in Memphis, Tennessee. The Grizzlies take on the Utah Jazz. Make sure you join GBB, I Love Memphis, and Fan Essentials for our first watch party of the year. There will be others to come, but we're going to kick it off the right way with our first one of the season. Holly and Mark, thank you so much for joining me. It's been terrific to have you, and of course, we'll have you back on the show later on in the season.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's Holly Whitfield and Mark King. Holly is the terrific writer and purveyor of the I Love Memphis blog. Make sure you're following her on Twitter @ILoveMemphis. And Mark, of course, GBB video content producer. He runs Fan Essentials, does a great job with that, @King_producer. It's going to be a great party on Saturday night. I hope you guys can join us. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. What a great show this has been. Thank you, as always, for being on the program as a listener with us. And before we finish up, I do want to do our drawing for the Fan Essentials box. We haven't done this in a while, but we had our GBB Live question of the day. It was about the All-Star Game, who Grizzlies fans felt should be in that All-Star Game. And the final numbers are in. 58% said Marc Gasol, 32% said Mark and Mike, 5% said neither of them, some negative Nancys, and then 5% said just Mike. So Marc Gasol was the winner, and Marc Gasol, of course, is the man going to the All-Star Game in that reserve role for the Western Conference, thanks to the over 180 folks that voted in that poll. And the drawing will go to Brady Clark, at Brady Clark 3. You are the winner of the Fan Essentials box. I will be contacting you for your information. We will get you your Fan Essentials box. It's a great service. Hopefully you'll subscribe long term, but you get a free Fan Essentials box sent to you. We'll get that information from you here in a little while. Thank you for listening. Thank you for voting and replying over at GBB Live on Twitter. If you are on Twitter and you don't follow GBB Live, then you may not have known about this great opportunity to get into the drawing for the Fan Essentials box. So you should be following us at GBB Live. It's that simple. Congratulations, Brady. The week ahead, between now and our next recording of GBB Live, we'll be back on the Blog Talk Radio airwaves February 2nd, and that will be another 8 p.m. Central Time live recording. Obviously, if you can't catch us live, you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes. There's plenty of ways to listen to the show. There also is a post on grizzlybearblues.com every Friday or the day after when we record. You can check out the show there as well. So the week ahead between now and our next live recording, the Grizzlies have the Portland Trail Blazers. Then they're at Utah. We talked about the watch party at Memphis Made Brewery. Monday, they're at the Phoenix Suns, and then Wednesday, they're at the Denver Nuggets. So four road games over the next week, and they're going to be difficult, especially the game at Utah, second night of a back-to-back at elevation in Utah against a very good Jazz team that's playing great basketball. That's going to be a tough game. Things to look for a really mad Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum on Friday night, both snubbed for the All-Star game. Maybe they're going to be trying to make a point against the Grizzlies. Look for on Saturday, Rudy Gobert versus Marc Gasol, a battle of two excellent bigs, possibly two of the best centers in the NBA right now. The Phoenix Suns struggling right now as a basketball team. Really, Eric Bledsoe has been a bright spot for them. But outside of that, that should be a game that the Grizzlies should take, especially since they have a day off in between. And then Wednesday at Denver, the Denver Nuggets are playing good ball. Jokic and other Nuggets looking sharp. But again, that's a game that the Grizzlies should win if they are on. I am hopeful for a 3-1 stretch in these four games, and then maybe they struggle against the Timberwolves and Thunder later on in the run. I think 3-3 is realistic. 4-2 is hopeful. If they go 2-2 in these games, I think that's a win. Again, Utah is tough, and then I'm nervous about Friday night. I think McCollum and Lillard are going to come out pretty mad, but if they can withstand that test and then pick up that win, I think 3-1 is possible over this week that's coming up. So Portland, Utah, Phoenix, and Denver all on the road for the Grizzlies as they enter into their longest road trip of the season with a six-game swing around Western Conference opponents. Subscribing to the podcast on iTunes. Make sure you are signing up for fanessentials.net, and thank you to them for their sponsorship of GBB Live, and thank you for their giveaway of this evening to Brady, who is going to get a Fan Essentials box. Thanks to our guest, Ryan Glover of BlueWorldOrder.com. Thanks to Mark King of Fan Essentials and GBB Video. And thanks to Holly Whitfield, of course, of I Love Memphis blog. Again, our next show will be February 2nd at 8 p.m. Central Time. Will be the live recording. We'll talk about our watch party and the great success it was. We'll talk about these past four games. We will look ahead to the next two games and the Grizzlies kind of closing out their pre-All-Star slate. Lots to discuss as this Grizzlies team kind of hopes to turn things around. It's been a rough 20-some games for them, but the Raptors game, we saw energy. Marc Gasol had a tremendous performance, of course. So hopefully they can kind of get these six road games out of the way and start rattling off some wins as they try to solidify themselves in the 6-5 seed kind of conversation, maybe even the 4 with the Los Angeles Clippers having the injury to Chris Paul. maybe they can find a way to sneak back up the rankings of the Western Conference playoff picture, try to avoid the San Antonio Spurs in that 2-7 matchup as best they can. One more time, watch party Saturday night at Memphis Made Brewery, 8 p.m. Central Time. Make sure you are heading out that way. Grizzlies tickets giveaways, shirt giveaways, from Fan Essentials, sticker giveaways from I Love Memphis, food trucks, great beer, great times, great people. Make sure you're making Memphis Made a place that you stop by on Saturday night in Memphis for our Grizzly Bear Blues, I Love Memphis, and Fan Essentials watch party. Thank you for joining me. Thanks for listening, as always. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on iTunes, as I mentioned before, so you never miss a show. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live.